Hello and welcome to the podcast Load Caesars, episode 639 on today, Tuesday the 25th of April 2023. I'm your host Connor, joined by a very poorly Dan.
Hi Connor, how are you feeling? Well,
yeah, I'm feeling wonderful. Pre-warning, Dan may sound like the Rancor during one or two of these segments, but he's soldiering through to
dark
bring you...
Dark plague is stalking this office. I feel like a Labour council is running my respiratory tract. It's not particularly fun.
Yeah, it doesn't have the exact amount of pigeon excrement as Swindon usually does, but it doesn't look fantastic. Anyway, today we're discussing Haiti, what's going on in Haiti that no one's talking about, obviously Fox News committing suicide, and how Elon's rocket went boom. And I'll just let Dan get his sniffle out of the way. By the way, if you don't know, at 3 o'clock today, if you aren't subscribed to be a premium member yet, what are you doing? You're missing out on all the good content. Subscribe for as little as £5 a month. Today, we are kicking off with Brokenomics 18 at 3 o'clock, where Dan decided to sit me down for a chat about Thomas Sowell, because I've read some of his books and we went through some of the clips and we discussed some rather contentious topics in quite a measured way. So go and see my career-ending performance. But without further ado, let's get straight into the news.
Yes, so quick question for you. How much have you guys heard about Haiti? Look, I decided to put a poll up on this one. So, mm-hmm. So here's the poll on Twitter. I said, Haiti has descended into a pure hellscape, with social media now flooded with videos of gang violence and open cannibalism on the streets. Have you heard anything about it? Anyway, 3,500 votes later, and 99% of people have heard absolutely nothing about this one, which is not surprising. So that's the sort of topic I want to get into. So before I go any further on this one, I'm going to have to give a trigger warning, because, of course, some of you are Zoomers and you need that sort of thing.
Thanks.
So do not listen to this segment if you've got children with you, if you have a liberal worldview, or you just find insane levels of depravity, rape, murder, human immolation, and cannibalism distressing. So if that applies to you, you should stop watching immediately after I plug the website. So go over to lotuseaters.com, where you can find lots of great content. Just a reminder, we have been demonetized. So if you want to follow us, you should really go on there, sign up. You can get an account for free. There are paid options as well if you want higher levels of access and chat to us and all that sort of thing. But sign up for free, because we're going to get kicked off eventually. Right, so before we dive too much into why Haiti is quite the mess that it is, should we do a little bit of historical background, a little bit of context on this? So Haiti is a small Caribbean island about 600 miles away from Miami. It's on the island of Hispaniola, which Haiti shares with Dominican Republic, which I have been to. It was a very last minute thing. Me and the wife realized, before she was the wife, we had a 3 weeks. So we thought, let's go to the Caribbean, had a look online, found a very cheap holiday to the Caribbean. I thought, let's do that. It leaves tomorrow. Turns out it was cheap for a reason. Worst bloody holiday I've ever had. But Haiti is even worse. And that's just across the border. So the story of Haiti, it was originally inhabited by the Taino people, apparently. History doesn't record them too much. Christopher Columbus founded the first European colony there. The indigenous people did not fare particularly well under the Spanish. French took over in the 17th century. They ruled it for a while, bit of a revolution. They left in 1804. So actually, Haiti has been the second longest independent state in the Americas after the US itself. And it is the oldest independent black republic in the Americas. It then, when it started governing itself, did experience quite a lot of political turmoil for a while. A lot of assassinations, military coups, sort of open warfare, really.
White supremacy, obviously, to blame.
Well, yes, coming to that, actually, that is a good point. In 1915, the Americans decided to step in to try and stop them from killing each other en masse. They stuck around for about 19 years and decided the place was ungovernable and left. So they've been out of it since 1934.
Yeah, and bear in mind, they were in the Middle East for the best part of half a century.
Yes, Haiti proved to be a bigger challenge. It had a dictatorship under a guy called Papa Doc from about 1957 up until the sort of mid-80s, when his son was turfed out of office. And to be fair, it is the sort of place that could probably use a good dictator. It's one of different political models, work on different demoses, and it seemed to catch its groove there. But no, that didn't take either. And then to add insult to injury, it had a earthquake in 2010, which was quite bad. So it has had a troubled past, and it does have some legacy issues going back there. But to be fair, it's been free of colonialism for 200 years now. So it's, you know, it can't really use colonialism as a as an excuse. Another interesting fact is Haiti is one of the most homogeneous places on Earth. Actually, a DNA survey was done there back in 2010, and they discovered that the DNA of Haiti is 96% sub-Saharan African and only 4% European. And that 4% is sort of mixed in to what they apparently call mulattoes.
Right.
I don't know if that is an offensive term. If it is, I apologize unreservedly and withdraw my remarks, but that's what I found out about it. So look, it's got a long history of independence. So you can't blame colonialism, and you certainly can't blame white supremacy.
But perhaps diversity is needed, because I have been told it's a strength.
That is true. Maybe that is what is lacking here. Although I always understood diversity to mean the absence of
be more black people. Yeah. There's a slight hole in this plan somehow.
Could be an angle. Haiti also has quite large reserves of natural gas, quite a lot, in fact, as well as deposits of gold, copper, other minerals. What did I find? Calcium carbonate apparently is quite a good one. And so overall, it's got a lot of mineral reserves that it could draw on.
So it could basically be Wakanda if it wanted to.
I think it is. It is, you know, just a step or two away from that. Maybe quite a few large steps. But and to be fair, yes, it did have the earthquake in 2010. But then, you know, Turkey had an earthquake recently. Japan has had a number of earthquakes. So I don't know if you can necessarily blame that. And the other reason, the other thing that it's got really going for it, is it benefited from the expertise of the Clintons after 2010.
So you may want to roll back that colonialism claim.
Well, possibly. Now, look, I don't know what it was that first attracted Bill Clinton to the child prostitution capital of the Americas in 2010 and what led him to put his network of people in there, shifting people and goods around. I have no idea what it was that first attracted him to that. And I don't know why the good Hillary Clinton, after hearing that billions of aid was going to be flowing to Haiti, why she wanted to insert herself into that money stream. The only thing I'm thinking is that I'm just nostalgic for a time when we had a better class of politician who acted so selflessly like Bill and Hillary Clinton did in worming their way in. We'll come back to that. In fact, no, let's have a look at it now. Let's have a look. So this is the Clinton Foundation Haiti Action Network. So, the first picture there is a smiling Haitian woman painting a mug. I don't know why we're not getting that on. Maybe it's because it's on widescreen, but she's painting a mug. If you scroll down a bit, we've got, a happy Haitian man plucking some sugarcane, presumably. So he's got a big smile on his face. So it all looks good. And you scroll down a bit further, some people of European ancestry have decided to go and put some solar panels up. So the Clinton Foundation clearly did very good work there, although Haitians themselves do dispute that one a little bit. Let's go to the New York Times, which is obviously a bit of a lefty rag, that one. It's always been a Clinton supporter. Interesting article, this one. Let's quote it some length from it, shall we? So it starts off talking about some of the protests going on there, carrying horns and handwritten signs and bottles of gasoline to set fire to tires on a group of men marched into the many protests who were paralyzed part of Haiti. They were angry with their president who had let parliament collapse and failed to hold scheduled elections. They were angry with the former American Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, who had put him in power.
That's interesting. So they were carrying horns, occupied the capital and protesting an election.
Yes.
Clearly Haitian QAnon.
Yes, you would be led to feel that, wouldn't you? Especially since they thought that there was some election irregularities. Of course,
I think we even though we are demonetized, we have to condemn that, because every single election throughout history has been safe and secure.
Well, especially ones that Hillary Clinton has been involved in.
Yes, of course. Well, hang on. No, because didn't she lose that one? So that one might have problems because of the Russians, right? I don't know what the rules are.
Yeah. So this article explains how Hillary Clinton, as Secretary of State, traveled there at least four times. And of the litany of complaints that the Haitian people have been making against the Clintons includes, apparently they turfed 366 farmers off their land and then built an industrial park. And it seems the jobs haven't materialized that was promised, which was slightly unfortunate. Also, Mrs. Clinton's brother, Tony, was it Rodham or something? That was a maiden name, Rotherham or whatever. He's been making a few land deals there.
Right. So just like Joe Biden's brother with Iraq.
Yes, yes, you might draw that.
I'm so glad that these politicians have such philanthropic siblings who decide to upgrade the infrastructure in ailing countries.
Yeah, obviously this one is completely different. I mean, we can be cynical about, you know, the likes of Joe Biden and his clan who obviously using the Ukraine war as a massive money laundering operation, but the Clintons would never do that, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, of course, as well, Joe Biden and he showered with his daughter and Hunter Biden with all sorts of sordid texts with his niece. We could never dispute the Clintons being untoward towards underage and vulnerable people.
Yeah, when I heard that thing about Biden showering with his daughter, I just assumed that she was like 7 or something.
No.
Not 27.
I think it was when she was young.
Right.
Yeah. That was in her diary.
Yes.
Which was at once misinformation and also required the FBI to raid James O'Keefe's house to get it back.
Now, speaking of contemporary American politics, of course, this is the country that Trump got in trouble for. Because do you remember he was speaking to a bunch of senators
and he called it a
shithole country?
Yes.
In fact, he mentioned, he cited two, as I understand it, El Salvador and Haiti.
And El Salvador has done very well by cracking down this criminal element.
Yes, I did a segment on Haiti and I think Carl did one recently as well.
El Salvador, you mean?
El Salvador. But, you know, they completely turned themselves around.
Yeah, President Bukele is actually quite inspirational.
Mm. The American media has fallen out of love with El Salvador, though they don't like him anymore. But I do remember at the time, they were sort of praising Haiti as basically sort of heaven on earth. Because obviously they had to take the opposite view of whatever Trump said.
That's really strange, because then as soon as a bunch of Haitian migrants came up to the southern border and had to be corralled by ICE on horseback, and they accused them of whipping them when they didn't have a whip on them.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be strange that they'd be refugees fleeing Haiti, but Haiti is a Clinton-invested paradise?
Yes, doesn't make an awful lot of sense, does it?
No.
Now, this article, again, I'm quoting from the article, these are not my words, and I'm going to quote directly here so I don't get in trouble with the YouTube censors. Right. To many Haitians, the most significant moments of Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State was in 2011 when she pressured the Haitian president to admit Mr. Martley, a popular recording artist. Who ever heard of that? Somebody from the entertainment industry being pushed into the presidential role by the Americans. Interesting.
Hmm.
Into a two-person runoff for president. The night of the runoff, which Mr. Martley won, Mrs. Clinton's chief of staff, Cheryl Mills, remember her?
Yeah.
Wrote a congratulatory note to the top diplomats in Haiti. And she said, and I am quoting here, YouTube censors, "You do great elections," Miss Mills wrote in the message released by the State Department. "We can discuss how the count is going, just kidding, and then kinder," exclamation mark, smiley face. Presumably they wanted to make sure that it was fortified.
Yeah, very safe and secure. No.
Yes, they wanted to make it the most safe and secure Haitian election ever.
Yes. Mm. Yeah, ballots being counted from everywhere, including wine coolers.
Yes, just a shock that the Americans' preferred candidate won. Right, so so the article goes on to say it may have been tongue-in-cheek, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so what Mr. Markley then did is he concentrated power around him and he gave all the top jobs to people with criminal pasts who he knew that he could rely on again.
Right.
Yeah, this is completely different to any other contemporary country which America is involved in.
Do we know the Epstein client list? Or totally unrelated note, by the way.
Well, I was wondering that because what Bill Clinton got involved in this one was Epstein already out of business by then? I don't know. I don't know why I'm making that connection.
I'm not sure. No. It's not like certain politicians could have blackmail material on them to do what other international bodies want to do.
Heavens forbid, no.
That's terrible. Conspiracy theory.
Yes. Now, the article then goes on to list other complaints, including lucrative land deals, which we mentioned earlier. That was with Tony Rodham. Now, this is a really important point to make, and I do want to stress this. I am quite certain that Hillary Clinton's brother would have been buying up land in Haiti to flip, even if his sister wasn't Secretary of State. For the US at the time. You know, I have no doubt that if Hillary Clinton was working as a cashier in Walmart, Tony Clinton, Rodham, would have been doing these sort of flip-for-profit deals anyway. I am as certain of that as I am certain that if Joe Biden was a you know, working for, a small shampoo company in Delaware as a sniff tester, that his son would have been, after all, would have got that director job in the Ukraine energy company.
Same with Nancy Pelosi. I'm sure she would have just absolutely run up numbers on the stock market were she not a lifelong politician.
Almost a premonition that woman has for news which is going to government regulation which is about to affect stock prices. It's uncanny. So anyway, so that's all the background of Haiti. That brings you up to speed as to where we were until very recently. And then I tried to get into, you know, what the mainstream media has covered this, you know, recently. And there's been almost nothing since 2010. Since Trump made his remarks about it being an asshole country, basically nothing has been written on this. The closest I could find was this one Daily Mail article.
And this was 17th of December 2022, so nothing for about 5 months.
Yes, quite. And that's the most I could find. Now, this one, it is a bit dark. It goes on to talk about various stories. In fact, most of this article is talking about the unfortunate events surrounding a 16-year-old Haitian girl called Anne. Now, I won't go into too much detail because, like I say, it is a bit dark. But basically, the gist of it is that one of the ruling gangs broke into her home. Her brothers and father were taken away and immolated, and her and her sisters were abused for quite a long time and then set on fire as well for good measure. She somehow escaped and managed to talk to the Daily Mail. So, yeah, very unfortunate story. Now, the reason I picked this one is because I can't show you the videos that I found on Haiti, but I can at least show you these. So let's go down a bit. Go back to the Daily. Yeah, go scroll down this one. Hold on that in a minute. So that is apparently the guy running half of the capital now. This guy is a lovely man called Jimmy Barbecue. That's his that's his nickname.
Is that a football team scarf he has on as well?
Oh, is it?
That's very strange.
Is it? I don't know. I'm not very good on football. But Jimmy Barbecue. Presumably he's an absolute hoot at the weekend if you bring him some Bud Light and however he got that name. Scroll on down. Slight mess of it. Keep going on. That's poor Anna, who the article is mainly about. Keep going down. And the main thing I wanted to get to is there's a gentleman in a tire. Go down. So this is apparently a very popular method of, justice, I suppose,
they're dousing him in petrol and burning him alive while he's bound in a tire.
Yes. Apparently a lot of that goes on now. Which is slightly unfortunate. And bear in mind, this was before it got really bad, this last...
This is just the appetizer. Great.
Yes, okay. Yes. I searched CNN, I searched the BBC, I searched a whole bunch of other mainstream news stories, and I could not find just absolutely nothing since about 2010 on this.
Well, Black Lives Matter, don't you know?
Yes. So I was slightly disturbed on Monday when my timeline on Twitter started showing me videos of... cannibalism, basically. Cannibalism on the streets of the capital. Now, this is a tweet. This is the least graphic video that I could find, which shows people on who have been bundled into a vehicle and set on fire. But it's quite zoomed out, so it's not too horrific. But that gives you the type of clue as to some of these. A lot of these images, these videos have been going up and they're getting fairly swiftly deleted, which, you know, I have mixed feelings on. Because, I mean, on one hand, you don't want to see this stuff. On the other hand, it kind of feels wrong to shut it out and just pretend it's not happening.
Mm.
So I do have mixed feelings on this. If you really want to go and find the dark videos, you can go onto Twitter and just search Haiti and go down the video tab, but I would strongly recommend you don't.
I recommend at least putting a sensitive content warning on first and then clicking on things according to their titles rather than just having your eyeballs subjected to horror.
It's not just that. It's just for whatever reason, if you put Haitian into the search bar and then search videos,
you
get an awful lot of low-quality homemade porn.
Yeah, yeah.
And you might be thinking to yourself, well, I think I can handle that. Just be warned, quite a lot of it falls into the solo male category. So there are multiple reasons as to why you... Yes. I do the research so that you don't have to. That's where we're going.
Why do I work here?
Go on. Now, is the world completely blind to this? We know the media isn't talking. We know the government isn't talking about it. But the UN did at least a week ago point out that it is really spiring. So let's have a look at this video.
All right.
I'm just going to play you the first few seconds to make a very simple point. So here we go. Here's the UN press conference on provide an update on the situation. Just the first few seconds. Let's watch this. So for those of you who are listening to this rather than watching...
Good morning. We'll get started and
you are looking at
some more people can join as we get closer in. I know that we've rescheduled this a little bit earlier, so it may be some people will come in a little bit later.
So the UN do a press conference on the humanitarian crisis in Haiti.
And no one can be bothered to show
nobody
up.
Nobody turns up. The only person there is this guy's aide who moves to the side. And if you scroll to the end of the 45-minute video, there is still nobody. So nobody from the press is even slightly interested in this. The UN also put out a document, which I'm not going to show here. I'm just going to add it to the reading list, which you can go and look at. If you want to, but in that video, basically what happens is a Swedish UN operative is living in Haiti as sort of the UN's point person there, and she gives an update on it, and she adds that what does she say? So it's Olka Eureka. Oh, Eureka Richardson. She says since our last briefing in December, the dire situation in Haiti is only deteriorating. Adding that Haiti is in urgent need of humanitarian assessment, and that was a week ago. Like I say, before this weekend when it went really
right. Yes. So my concern is the UN's version of humanitarian assessment, as I covered in the weekend segments, will be to roll in and make the child exploitation capital of South America even worse by decriminalizing the ability for kids to use drugs and be prostitutes.
Yes, what was it you told me the other day, that the UN came to some sort of weird logic on when it matters?
Yeah, it has 21 principles that says that pending the maturity of the child and their progressive autonomy, that a child can consent to sex.
Right.
Go and watch the weekend segment I did on that.
And when they say
details.
Child, do they mean a 15-year-old or something?
They didn't put an age. They said below the age of consent. They just said that.
Right.
I have made sure that is forwarded to relevant politicians. So maybe one or two might have the balls in the UK to question our funding. Would be nice.
So the UN isn't exactly on top of this, but even they acknowledge that there was something going on here, and it is not being covered elsewhere. Now, to give the other side of this story, this is a documentary which I found, which you can go and watch if you want. So this is a documentary made by Uncaptured Media, who get into Jimmy Barbecue's side of the story. Let's just play this, no sound in the background, because he's speaking presumably French anyway, whatever it is. For those of you who don't know, French is a dead language, which was once used on the European continent, but it still has some holdouts in some places around the world. Now, I have no idea the intricacies of what's going on inside Haiti. Maybe Jimmy Barbecue really is one of the good guys who's fighting against the situation, or probably more likely there are no such thing as good guys.
I would suggest by the name and given the amount of videos and stories we've seen of people being burned alive, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, these guys make an argument, but like I said, I don't really know what's going on in there. The point I'm looking to make is that this is kind of what journalism is for. This is what the BBC and the CNN should be doing. They should be covering stuff like this. So the UN acknowledge it. Western governments don't. Western media doesn't. It has fallen to, let's go to the next the tweet. So the foreign minister of Kenya has acknowledged that the situation is spiraling out of control there. And he's actually looking to build support to send police from Kenya to Haiti to try and stabilize the situation somewhat. No Western governments are doing that. Let's have a quick look at the next article where he sets out his case. Haitian Prime Minister Ariel Henry has pleaded for full-fledged international military intervention. His country requests help from the United Nations and has suggested that US and Canada lead a force. No such intervention has come together, and neither country has offered to take the lead. And in Kenya, Foreign Diaspora Affairs Cabinet Secretary Dr. Alfred Murta has revealed to the country he's actively exploring the possibility of dispatching police personnel to Haiti in an effort to address the ongoing crisis in the country. Now, that is going to bring me to my concluding thought, because the Ukraine is presented to us as a humanitarian effort. We are told that the reason that the international community is intervening, and this is the official explanation, is because of the overwhelming humanitarian need to do so. Right. So is there not an overwhelming humanitarian need by that logic to intervene in Haiti? And yet we don't have a chirp. Nothing from media, nothing from Western governments, and yet the island of Hispania is only 70 miles from US territory. Because of Puerto Rico. So, I would imagine that you know, a single US battalion could knock this into shape. So it could be done at a tiny, tiny fraction of the cost of the Ukraine, which is making me start to doubt that humanitarian interventions are really the motivation that US operates by. The only thing, the closest I could find to a US acknowledgement is this last thing. So this is the, was it the State Department offered travel advice, and their advice is do not travel to Haiti under any circumstances. They say the US embassy personnel are required to use official transport to and from the airport. Protests, demonstrations, tire burnings, and roadblocks are frequent, unpredictable, and can turn violent. The US is extremely limited in its ability to provide emergency assistance to US citizens in Haiti. And that's the closest thing that I could find to any acknowledgement on any US source that there was a crisis going on here. And maybe it's because if the US acknowledged that there was a humanitarian crisis on their doorstep and declined to do anything about it, it would shatter the illusion that other interventions they are making in the world are being done for humanitarian reasons. And the media won't cover it because they are complicit in the same set of lies.
Well, we can't have the Clinton Foundation look bad, can we?
No. Cheer me up, Connor. Tell me something good about the media.
Afraid I'm not going to be doing that. So Fox News yesterday decided to commit total rating suicide by firing Tucker Carlson. On the same day, joyfully, CNN also sacked off Don Lemon. Let's look at the reasons as to why they both did that and enjoy one while lamenting the other. If you want to learn how ideological corruption will destroy everything you love, you can pay us £5 a month and go over to the website to get not only our full podcast, uncensored, for free, but also the premium content that's behind the paywall. And this video, for example, is on how real communism has already been tried. It was a 45-minute mini-presentation I did on how, if you really look at the texts and history of communism and its experiments, its states, you find out that all of its economic premises are wrong. They never come to pass. The dialectic of historical materialism, its prediction just totally fails. And the only thing that ever happens is the replication of dictatorship and genocide, which Marx and Engels just so happened to have endorsed explicitly across their entire career history. So excuse me if I think that communism, that the means of just murdering your enemies is actually the ends, and I hope I make a compelling case. Open to arguments to the contrary. Not really, it's commie nonsense. Anyway, let's go on to this one. So it turns out that Tucker has not only been sacked, but his lead producer, who seems to have been someone who pays attention to our side of the aisle, is also gone as well. So he has a team of loyalists around him that would like to exit. So it does really seem to be a turfing out of the particular break that Tucker's programming had from the mainstream containment you would otherwise see on networks like Fox. Tucker's producer, for example, was one of the leading reasons why Orrin McIntyre got more views, because Tucker decided to put one of McIntyre's tweets up on the show when Orrin was relatively obscure. And he has since become a man who has formulated quite a few phrases that have shifted the Overton window. For example, don't make us tap the sign, though we can't bring said sign up because we're on YouTube. Anyway, let's go to the next one. So this is the effect it had. Immediately, they erased $507 million in value off of Fox's stock market. So Class A shares of Fox Corp sank as much as 5.4% on Monday before trimming to losses to 2.9% after the company said Tucker Carlson was fired with immediate effect. The departure comes just days after the network agreed to pay $787 million to settle a defamation lawsuit brought by Dominion Voting Systems. We'll be getting into that slightly later.
So that scale of move, that is the sort of, I mean, that is a huge move for a single employee leaving. That's the sort of scale of move I would expect to see if a well-regarded CEO left unexpectedly from a business. So that's a big move.
Yeah, we can go to the chart, actually, in the next one, in the tweet. And Bloomberg decided to visualize it for us. And as you can see, yeah, that's really bad.
So that other dip there, that would have been the Dominion News settlement.
I believe so, yeah.
Where they had to pay, was it a third of a billion? And it was that little blip. And that one is the
Tucker Carlson going. Wow. Yes, yeah. Plummeting.
Remarkable.
Yeah. So, interesting thing that happened, though. This was back in the Bloomberg article. A speculation over Carlson's next landing spot spread. Investors snapped up shares of Rumble.
Interesting.
Rumble stock rallied by 6%. Very curious. Anyway, on to the next one. Tucker was, of course, the most highly viewed rated show on cable consistently over the last couple of years. So it's no wonder that their stocks took a tumble. So he was beat in quarter one of 2023 by The Five, which is their panel show, by about 10,000 viewers. But that's pretty much an anomaly. And the reason that format has, well, that format's taken off, it's now been replicated in GB News, except with much more left-wing hosts. Anyway, so Fox had all of the top 10 slots in the last year. So the Five had 3,256,000 over the average of 58 telecasts, whereas Tucker had 3,246,000 over 53 telecasts. So hair thin between the two. MSNBC, they cracked number 14. So that was their top rated show. And then Anderson Cooper was CNN's most watched, and that averaged 703,000 total viewers, which was number 26. So it's not even close in the ratings. Fox News are blowing out the competition, and Tucker Carlson is consistently, or was now, top of the pack. If we go to the next one, in March specifically, Tucker was the absolute top, pulling in an average of 3 million viewers a night. And it's no wonder, particularly because he was one of the... he was the show that broadcast new January 6th footage with recontextualizing old facts that we already knew and helped the QAnon shaman get out of prison because it's an obvious farce.
It was the only thing on Fox News that I ever watched, and looking through Twitter, an awful lot of Americans are making the very same point.
Yeah, well, Tucker was one of the only people on television which wasn't just a pundit. His monologues made the news. He decided to break stories in his opening addresses. It wasn't just rank commentary.
Yeah.
Over here, for example, we script all our segments as presenters. So we both do the research and we decide to present it to you. That means that we actually know a comprehensive amount of the things we present to you. We care about the topics, and hopefully that bleeds through the passion and the intrigue into our content. A lot of the time, news hosts, you will get them be very dispassionate. They'll give you the talking points. They'll tell you what to think, not necessarily how to think, and inspire you to go and do the research for yourself. Tucker really did that. And he was very entertaining as well. It's hard to believe that he's in his mid-50s because of the baby face, but his facial expression did become a meme for many a year for a reason. Mm. You know, it's something I've gotten into trouble with on regular mainstream outlets because I let my face say it all. But Tucker's brand was the look of total bemusement when someone starts waffling on about total nonsense. And so it's going to be something that the mainstream audiences really miss, because the important point is here, and we just said about Rumble, of course Tucker's going to get snapped up with offers from elsewhere. Yeah. Or if he goes his own way, he's going to be a titan on independent media platforms. He'd probably overshadow Steven Crowder, frankly, if he does go to Rumble. But we have lost something here, and that is the normies that don't know what Rumble is or can't even get on the interwebs will now not have the sole mainstream voice who is speaking out against January 6th, comprehensively, the Ukraine war, all sorts of other issues. They won't have it dropped in front of them on their television every night. So that's just going to be out of their frame of reference.
Everybody else on Fox News is within the Overton window. They're just on the right-hand side of the Overton window. Whereas Tucker was consistently pushing outside of it. He was anti-military industrial complex. Yes. He was anti-war. He was not signed up to the old, you know, just vote for the red team this time. He recognized the corruption there. He recognized the corruption in the media. And he was the only based voice that the boomers ever got to hear. Because they're not going to follow him to Rumble or wherever he ends up.
No, he doesn't even... they don't know what that infrastructure is. So we have lost something here. Mm. I'm glad that a sizable audience will follow Tucker, but it's going to be more difficult to make inroads on mainstream platforms as it goes forward. If we go to the next one, Megyn Kelly has obviously been celebrating this because she also broke away from Fox and she's done fairly well for herself going entirely independent. So she's made the point that Tucker's going to crush it. And on the flip side as well, speaking of Daily Wire, Jeremy Boring, who's the head of the Daily Wire, has decided to tease the idea that he'll get out a giant novelty check like Michael Scott in The Office if Tucker Carlson were to decide to court the Daily Wire for viewing. I don't think Tucker needs the backing of Daily Wire, frankly.
And I should also point out at this juncture that I can neither confirm nor deny if Lotus Eaters are in discussion with Tucker at this very moment.
I can confirm we can't bloody afford him. Be nice, though. I mean, I don't want to get upstaged by the bow tie if he brings it back. But anyway, it'd be fantastic. But I don't think it would be the smartest career move for Tucker to necessarily sign with another network. I can't speak for him, but I think he'll do well enough on his own as an independent. But again, if it's not in front of the boomers...
Well, he's got that whole studio, because he doesn't actually go into New York anymore, does he? He's got that whole studio in his hometown, I think. And I think he does it all from there. So, I mean, that could easily be repurposed.
Sure, but I don't know if he owns that. So it's very different. So the Daily Wire guys, as we saw...
I'm sure he could raise the capital to rip it out and put a new one in.
Sure, but it's not necessarily that he owns the property. So let's put it this way. The Daily Wire guys gave Crowder $50 million overhead to cover the production costs.
Yeah.
I don't know if Tucker is just contracted, as with his producers, which is why his producers were sacked or left. Mm. or if Tucker runs it as a limited company and incurs all the costs as part of his contract and therefore pays for it.
It wouldn't take him long to set one up.
No, it wouldn't take him long to set up a different one, but he's not going to get the same set.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. If we go over to the next one, please. This was Tucker's final segment. We're not going to play the clip, but I thought it ended in quite a nice, wholesome, mematic way. And that was a delivery driver, pizza delivery man, who stopped a carjacking. So Tucker decided to invite the delivery man in to give some pizza. And so he just sat around chatting to him like a genuine dude and ate some pizza. Quite a wholesome
thing. He is an actual nice guy. And it's something you can't fake. You are a nice guy or you aren't. And he genuinely is.
Yeah, there was that video, I didn't bring it up actually, silly. But some guy in New York came up to him while he was fly fishing in Central Park.
Oh yes, he's quite confrontational, isn't he? And Tucker just wins him over within about a space of 2 minutes.
Yeah, Tucker just had a polite chat and he said, oh, it's all right, it's on the Central Park website. You can fish here, and here. And he goes, what, do you normally fish here? Yeah, there's some bass here. I go fly fishing here. Look, I make all my own tackles or whatever it was. And Tucker had a sincere conversation with him about a wholesome little hobby he does. Just seems like quite a nice bloke. Mm. Like, he can be fiery, but considering the state of America and the world right now, I'm not shocked he gets angry. We do too. But when he's having a chat with people, seems pretty sincere. Yeah. And that actually looks like really good pizza.
Decent
as well.
Job.
Mm, wonderful. Anyway, on to the next one. Why fire Tucker? If we've got all these great things to say about him, if he's a clear bulwark for fantastic ratings, why would they have the motivation to take him out? Well, this is quite interesting. So this is one aspect that might play into it, and that is the Dominion lawsuit that we've already alluded to. And that's why Dan Bongino probably left Fox as well. And Dan's got his own show on Rumble, so he's insulated himself from that. So good luck, Dan. Hope it's all going well for you, mate. The settlement, which was $787 million, so they didn't go through with the full amount, which was in the multiple billions. They settled out of court for it. Had already been selected for trial in a Delaware Superior Court. So that avoided the possibility of Fox TV hosts and Rupert Murdoch, the head of the network, having to testify publicly. Lawyers for Fox declined to comment as they left the courtroom, though the network would release a statement afterwards saying, "We are pleased to have reached a settlement of our dispute with Dominion voting systems. We acknowledge the court's rulings, finding certain claims about Dominion to be false. This settlement reflects Fox's continued commitment to the highest journalistic standards. We are hopeful that our decision to resolve this dispute with Dominion amicably, instead of the acrimony of a divisive trial, allows the country to move forward from these issues." I have seen a clip, and I should have included it here, of Jake Tapper reading out that statement on CNN, and he was just chuckling and saying, "Huh, as if Fox could have any journalistic integrity. I can't read this seriously."
So is there a suggestion that part of the Dominion lawsuit settlement was an agreement to get rid of Tucker?
It is possible. I mean, it wouldn't be necessarily that they kicked Tucker off the air, but it may be that they were worried about being sued for future issues.
Well, I mean, Tucker didn't go there, did he?
No, he didn't. We'll get into that in a moment. Yeah. So obviously we can't comment on the veracity of any claims made by Fox News' presenters or hosts about Dominion. We're just not going to talk about that at all. I can say it didn't help the cause of election integrity to have grifters like Lynn Wood or clueless people like Sidney Powell as the brand ambassadors for the particular case. And Tucker seems to agree with me, and he said so in such a monologue because, and this was quite a while ago now, this was after Tucker had Sidney Powell on the program. Tucker said, "Powell refused to send him evidence supporting her claims despite multiple requests from Tucker Carlson tonight. When we kept pressing, she got angry and told us to stop contacting her," Carlson said in his segment. "When we checked with others around the Trump campaign, people in positions of authority told us Powell had never given them any evidence either, nor did she provide any today at the press conference." So Tucker didn't go there.
I do remember that now. That was one of the brief periods where the fan base fell out of love with Tucker because he was pushing back on this stuff.
But yes.
Because that was back in the days where we kept on expecting Sidney Powell to come forward.
The Kraken.
The Kraken, yeah.
And it turned out to be materialized. A dead fish. It turned out to be just as mythological as she claimed. Yeah. Mm. Well, when you're talking about the ghost of Hugo Chavez doing Redacted, then a little bit beyond the realm of credibility. But anyway, we can't talk more about election integrity because we are on YouTube still. On to the next one. This was quite interesting. Lots of people have been saying, okay, well, now that he's out of the TV game, maybe Trump should just pick him as his VP or press secretary. During the Dominion lawsuit, certain texts were disclosed, and during the voter fiasco, let's use that word, Tucker had some choice words for President Trump. In Fox News's slightly up. We are very, very close to being able to ignore Trump most nights. I truly can't wait, Carlson wrote in one text to an unidentified Fox employee on the 4th of January 2021, according to the filing. I hate him passionately. I blew up at Peter Navarro today in frustration. I actually like Peter, but I can't handle much more of this. So I don't think Tucker is destined on the Trump 2024 ticket to go to the White House. And also, it seems that Tucker, throughout this situation, was not on board with the Dominion defamation materials that were said on air.
Hmm.
Again, all we can say.
I mean, Tucker has, I think, what it takes to certainly enter the race on his own, not necessarily being on someone else's ticket. I mean, he's been very clear that he has not the slightest intention of doing so.
Yes, and I wouldn't question his eligibility for it, but I do think he should have some experience within the political machine, probably as a VP, before he makes his own presidential bid. Because what's going to happen is the swamp will try and destroy him every which way but loose. And so you do need a demolition candidate.
Yeah, it'd be wonderful to see him in there first. DeSantis is running mate or something.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah.
Yes. And he could also stop the neocons getting to DeSantis, which is currently happening.
I do tend to come down a bit more on the DeSantis side. I mean, Trump is excellent. Trump should go on Mount Rushmore. But DeSantis should go in the White House because I think he can actually get stuff done.
That is if he doesn't fall prey to his establishment donors. And I think having Tucker Carlson around him would very much stop that.
Yes.
Because DeSantis was quite neoconish when he was in Congress. And he has since flip-flopped on support for Ukraine. So Carlson could move him back towards base.
To be fair, we have all evolved our understanding of what government is over the last sort of 5 years or so.
No. DeSantis has flopped back.
Oh, I see.
As in he's endorsed more. Because he did come out and say there's some questionable things, and then the establishment bore down on him, and he said, wait, guys, you're taking me out of context, Slava Ukraini, which wasn't the best. But maybe Carlson can win him over. Anyway, on to the next one. This is interesting, though, because if we go down here, just in this article, despite Tucker Carlson seeming to be on the right side of the Dominion defamation lawsuit, Rupert Murdoch is not very happy with him. In Fox chairman Rupert Murdoch's January deposition, the media titan said he had seen no evidence that Dominion interfered in the 2020 election to disadvantage Trump. You've never believed that Dominion was involved in an effort to delegitimize and destroy votes for Donald Trump, correct? A Dominion lawyer asked. And he said, I'm open to persuasion, but no, I've never seen it. So you should think that they're allied. However, if we go on to this one from the Los Angeles Times, this was an exclusive. Seems that Murdoch personally intervened to get Tucker out.
Well, there's not many people in the organization who get rid of a star of that magnitude, so it probably does come down to Murdoch.
And I'm not surprised. So what could Tucker have done? And I probably won't be back on Talk TV for covering this. I just thought about that. Anyway, so according to one person familiar with the discussions, Murdoch's late son Lachlan, executive chairman of Fox Corp, and Suzanne Scott, chief executive of Fox News Media, declared late Friday that Carlson had to go. Murdoch was also said to be concerned about Carlson's coverage of the January 6th insurrection at the US Capitol. The host had promoted the conspiracy theory that it was provoked by government agents, and Carlson had called Ray Epps, an Arizona man who participated in the storming of the Capitol, but did not enter the building, an FBI plant, without presenting any evidence. And then Tucker was also reportedly fired 10 minutes before this information was made public. So it was rather unceremonious. So they hushed him out the door as quickly as possible. Why do I mention the Ray Epps thing? Well, maybe they're worried about getting sued again for defamatory claims, right? Well, Ray Epps was the gentleman, and you can see videos of this online, and you can, if you scroll down to in this Newsweek article, there are tweets of Marjorie Taylor Greene sharing footage of Ray Epps shouting, "We need to go into the Capitol." And there's also the clip of Ted Cruz questioning the head of the FBI, were there FBI informants and agents on the ground at January 6th? And she says, "Senator, I can't answer that." So excuse me if I'm a little suspicious. Plus, as well, of all the January 6th prisoners, people who didn't enter the Capitol and still got charged, why is the media coming to bat for this one guy? Like, New York Times did a full interview with him late last year. It's really weird that this one guy, they're going, no, don't lock him up. He's all right. Even though he's explicitly calling for violence and everyone's calling him a Fed, not to trust him. The media is collectively going to bat for him in his defense, but not a single other prisoner or person implicated.
Oh, I mean, this entire thing stinks.
This glows in the dark.
Absolutely. I mean, America has political prisoners. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, and Ray Epps isn't one of them.
No.
Curious. So conservatives and conspiracy theorists have fixated on Epps, who say he holds the answer to why hundreds of then-President Donald Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol. Epps said, Epps, they said, was a government plant that sowed the seeds of insurrection well before a crowd rushed the perimeter around the Capitol steps. While speaking with CBS's 60 Minutes in an interview that aired on Sunday, why are 60 Minutes interviewing him? Very curious. Epps said, Tucker Carlson is obsessed with me. He's going by any means to destroy me. When asked by 60 Minutes correspondent Bill Whitaker why Carlson would do that, Epps said, to shift the blame onto someone else. So, you're already seeing the narrative that Tucker Carlson is responsible for the worst thing to happen since 9/11. The FBI issued this statement to 60 Minutes in response to theories that Epps had worked for them on January 6th. Ray Epps has never been an FBI source or an FBI employee. Sure, Jan. Oh, got me thinking. Okay, if Murdoch's worried about getting sued again by false claims by Tucker Carlson, and Ray Epps is saying that they're false, why hasn't Ray Epps sued them yet? Is it because they're worried what will turn up in discovery?
Maybe he just doesn't like money.
Yes, yeah. He doesn't like that multi-million settlement from the defamation insurance that Fox handed over to Dominion that yes. Seems to just be waiting for Ray Epps if he can produce any evidence at all that he was in no way an FBI informant. Curious that.
That is a good point. Yeah.
Also, quite interesting as well, this piece from Los Angeles Times came around right about the same time as Tucker was let go. There is a producer who has decided to try and sue Fox News, Abby Grossberg, and she's filing a lawsuit in New York and Delaware that's alleged discrimination based on gender, religion, and disability. Her suit claims she was bullied and subjected to sexist and anti-Semitic comments while working as head of booking for Tucker Carlson Tonight. If we go on to the next article from Bloomberg,
What's her disability?
Liberalism?
Yeah.
It actually contains some of the information from here. So I'm just going to read some of the things that were found in the discovery. Fox, this is something that Tucker was annoyed about during the Dominion lawsuit. The early projection that Joe Biden won in Arizona had angered Donald Trump and set off calls to boycott the network. Evidence collected among the Dominion lawsuit showed Fox's top brass and on-air personalities feared viewers' wrath. Carlson was especially demonstrative. We worked really hard to build what we have. He wrote in a message that went on to use expletives to describe others at the network who were, quote, destroying our credibility by calling Arizona. It enrages me. Do the executives understand how much credibility we'd lost with our audience? We're playing with fire. For real, an alternative like Newsmax could be devastating to us. Seems that he's foreshadowed his ousting and the major ratings drop that's going to happen. And then it goes on to Grossberg's lawsuit in here. She cited a private message between Carlson and his executive producer, Justin Wells, in which the star described Powell, Sidney Powell, using crude and sexist terms, including a vulgar reference to a part of a woman's anatomy. Wells was also dismissed today, according to media reports. Such comments weren't unusual for Carlson's staff. Unprofessionalism reigned supreme on the show, Grossberg said. The staff's distaste and disdain for women infiltrated almost every workday decision. Sounds like a great place. On her first day on the job, she said, she was shocked to see blown-up photos of then-Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi in a plunging bathing suit revealing her cleavage. Grossberg said she'd also witnessed a crass and sexist discussion over which Michigan gubernatorial candidate, Gretchen Whitmer, or Republican challenger Tudor Dixon, was hotter. Grossberg, who is Jewish, claimed her supervisor described another colleague to her as going to visit a Jewish bakery and going to see his people. Oh, the horror.
I'm just Googling Tudor Dixon.
Go for it. She doesn't accuse Carlson personally of any misconduct. Right, so all of this is a coordinated smear job released around the same time as the Dominion lawsuit and Tucker's firing. And they're trying to say that Tucker is guilty of all sorts of sexist, racist, ableist, anti-Semitic comments. But nowhere in her lawsuit does she implicate Carlson directly.
So just to come back on your previous point, Tudor Dixon is way hotter than Greta Whitmore.
I mean, Gretchen Whitmer is a very low bar.
Yes.
Anyway, on to the next one. We also have the fact that there is some establishment from the top pressure. And we can see, as the prior thing from Ray Epps tried to blame Carlson for inciting January 6th, AOC, the favorite establishment talking head, very empty talking head, has decided to go on MSNBC with Jen Psaki. You remember the former press secretary who now has her own show? How fascinating.
Does anyone watch it?
It's MSNBC, of course not. But AOC decided to make a staggeringly big-brained comment here. Let's give it a listen.
Federal regulation in terms of what's allowed on air and what isn't. And when you look at what Tucker Carlson and some of these other folks on Fox do, it is very, very clearly incitement of violence. Very clearly incitement of violence. And that is the line that I think we have to be willing to contend with.
So a couple of days before Tucker gets fired, she is calling for Congress to draft legislation to take him off the air for incitement to violence.
Yeah, I think this one is a random coincidence. I don't think she has any effect on anything.
Yeah, definitely. Now, I think it's a bit of a stretch on her part, but then it did actually happen, of course.
Well, yes.
And so she decided to do what all good consumers do and make a comparison to a Marvel movie while celebrating that deplatforming works. Let's play the next clip.
Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News. Couldn't have happened to a better guy. What I will say, though, is while I'm very glad that the person that was arguably responsible for some of the most amounts of death threats and violent threats, not just to my office, but to plenty of people across the country, I also kind of feel like I'm like waiting for the cutscene at the end of a Marvel movie after all the credits have rolled. And then you see like the villain's like hand reemerge out to grip over like the end of a building or something. But deplatforming works and it is important. And there you go. Good things can happen.
So she's essentially there calling for the total unpersoning and eradication of Tucker Carlson's platform anywhere. And Fox News have just handed who should be their enemy a smug victory. So if you ever wanted proof that most of the establishment media is containment, even though they market yourself as their friend, yeah.
But I mean, let's just boil her point down to you know, the simple facts. The entire liberal political program is about criminalizing any opposition to what it is they want to do.
Yeah, of course.
It's as simple as that. She is just an authoritarian communist.
Yeah, and I'm actually glad that she exists because it dispels the right or anti-woke dissidents or whatever you want to call us of the possibility of a value-neutral society when you coexist with communists who have a global scope for their ambition. You can't say that we can all just get along.
No.
You can't say that you're committed to inviolable free speech that you're incapable of defending as a principle, because what's going to happen is they are going to assert their standards whether you like it or not. So it's going to require constant defense. So if you want free speech, we can have it in our box over here, but we can't have it with people like her.
Has been the biggest wake up for the right over the last few years, is to realize that we are not playing a fair game here at all. And that has been because people on our side have always thought if we present the better argument that we all win, it simply doesn't work like that. The left is actually right when it comes down to it's largely just a power play.
Yeah, it's not about reciprocity, it's about hierarchy. And this is something that Carlson actually said in his recent Heritage speech, which
that was brilliant.
Didn't include.
Is that in here?
No, I should have. It's fantastic. Go and give it a watch.
Absolutely go and watch that, because I mean that is brilliant, because he frames it in an ethical context. He talks about these people as, you know,
spiritual war.
They are evil. He frames it in spiritual terms. He comes out against the military-industrial complex. He talks about the collusion and collaboration and concentration of ownership in media. He talks about the military-industrial complex. He pours scorn on the Republican Party's milquetoast attempts to basically contain people. Absolutely brilliant. Check that out.
Yeah, and he conceptualized it as, this movement is not trying to disagree with you on marginal tax rates. We are not heading in the same direction. Yes. This is a movement of entropy trying to eradicate everything in its path so they can rebuild from the ashes, reform from the chaos. And I quite like the civilization. I quite like my peaceful, happy family life. And I don't want everything destroyed. So what we do is we don't disagree with these people. We must crush them in turn. And well, AOC understands that better than Fox News do.
Yeah, exactly. And he also makes this brilliant comparison on abortion, about how it used to be safe, legal and rare years ago.
Which
and
was now, always an impossible.
And now it is actively celebrated. And he points out, you know, if you are actively celebrating it, that is just straight up infanticide.
It's a prescription to eradicate the human race.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, an interesting thing for top-down pressure that might be influencing Fox's decision to oust their biggest host. Just purely speculative, we can't confirm or deny that this did have an impact at any point, but BlackRock recently snapped up more shares than Fox. So FinTel was reported that BlackRock filed a 13GA form with the SEC disclosing ownership of 45.74 million shares of Fox Corporation. This represents 15.1% of the company. In their previous filing, dated January 27th, 2022, they reported 39.87 million shares and only 12.5% 0.4% of the company. So this is an increase of 14.75% and an increase in total ownership of 2.7%. And the interesting thing is, as their ownership share went up, the number of total owners also dropped by 1%. So proportionately, they have a greater share of power.
Well, I mean, it is impossible to know what back-channel communications BlackRock might have had. However, BlackRock are one of the most active on the boards of the companies that they get involved in. And 15%, I mean, that is going to be absolutely crucial because most shares don't vote. They are very active. They will. So 15% is easy enough to make the difference between whether the CEO gets renominated to serve another term at the next board meeting. So it's impossible to know, but entirely credible that that's possible.
And it just so happens that Tucker Carlson is the biggest mainstream voice on television speaking out about ESGs. Very odd.
As well as many other things that BlackRock invested in.
Yeah. So Fox News have decided to commit suicide. But weirdly, CNN have done something sensible. Maybe they're trying to snap up their market share, or maybe they're trying to stop hemorrhaging all the money they spent on CNN Plus. And the rising star of CNN Plus, someone who's worked at the network for well over a decade now, Don Lemon, has gone. Now, Tucker pointed out that he was probably set up all the way back in 2011, so he decided to warn us in advance. And Don Lemon seems to have been set up as well, because if we go over to his Twitter, good news, everyone, Don Lemon decided to give a really professional address. If we can just click and enlarge this image here. This is how he decided to announce to Twitter, despite being verified, so he could do a longer tweet, that he'd been sacked. I was informed this morning by my agent that I have been terminated by CNN. I'm stunned. After 17 years at CNN, I would have thought that someone in management would have had the decency to tell me directly. At no time was I ever given any indication I would not be able to continue to do the work I have loved at the network. It is clear that there are some larger issues at play. With that said, I want to thank my colleagues and the many teams I have worked with for an incredible run. They're the most talented journalists in the business, and I wish them all the best. So it seems that he got the Tucker treatment, right?
Yeah. 10 years ago, he was very different. I mean, he spoke about things with a level of authenticity.
He told black people to pull up their pants and stop having kids out of wedlock. You know, the typical Nazi.
All that kind of stuff. And he has been so utterly cucked in these last few years.
Well, his private conduct leads a lot to be desired, so that might have something to do with it. I mean, he has been known to face sexual assault charges because he's rubbed his hands in his crotch and put it in men's faces. That's a thing.
Right.
In a bar. Yeah, there's a weird sex pest thing going on at CNN because one of Chris Cuomo, obviously brother of Andrew Cuomo, who was also sacked from the New York governor's office, not because he put COVID patients in old people's homes and killed them, but because he decided to grope someone and say, well, I'm Italian, what did you expect? Chris Cuomo's producer was caught in a paedophile sting. There's some weird stuff happening at CNN.
Yes.
Can't allege anything, of course. The thing is, though, I think Don Lemon didn't do nearly as good a job as he thought because he couldn't even accurately report on his own firing. So CNN, for once, decided to fact-check him with communications. Don Lemon's statement about this morning's event is inaccurate. He was offered an opportunity to meet with management, but instead released a statement on Twitter. And Elon replied, interesting. So he's just stirring the pot there. So Lemon doesn't have the most credible record on television. And as you said, his dwindling viewership seems to be a marker of the fact that his integrity's gone down. And this seems to have been the final straw. And this was Republican candidate Vivek Ramaswamy going on the network the other day. And if you listen to this clip while Lemon was arguing with Vivek, he seems to upset backstage. And that might have been one of the last times he ever did it. So let's play and listen and enjoy this.
So, with due respect, I find your explanation reductive and actually insulting, including to black Americans, to say that black people today, compared to 1964, 1865, haven't made progress in part because of the freedoms we secured. And the Second Amendment was
black
part
people,
of what secured
hang on,
that
please.
Freedom.
I cannot keep a thought if you guys are talking to me in my ear. So hang on one second. So to say that black people, say what you said again.
Black people secured their freedoms after the Civil War. It is a historical fact, Don. Just study it. Only after their Second Amendment rights were secured.
They were not secured their freedoms after the Civil War. That is not, you are discounting Reconstruction. You're discounting a whole host of things that happened after the Civil War when it comes to African Americans, including the whole reason that the Civil Rights Movement happened is because black people did not secure their freedoms after the Civil War. And that things turned around. People tried to change the freedoms that were supposed to happen.
And you know how they got it? They got their Second Amendment. Amendment rights, and they actually got, the NRA played a big role in that. But today, Don,
the NRA did not play a big role in that. Absolutely, they trained black Americans how to use firearms. That's a lie. The NRA did not play a big role.
This is just historical fact.
It's not a historical fact.
The part that I find,
because you say it's historical fact,
the part that I find insulting is when you say today black Americans don't have those rights after we have gone through civil rights revolution in this country.
You are sitting here telling an African American about the rights and what you find insulting about the way I live, the skin I live in every day.
Here's where you and I have a different point of view.
Black and white, that black people don't have in this country, and that black people do have.
Well, here's where you and I have a different point of view. I think we should be able to express our views regardless of the color of our skin. We should have this debate without me regarding you as a black man, but me regarding you as a fellow citizen.
You're sitting here, whatever ethnicity you are, explaining to me
whatever ethnicity I'm,
what it's like to be black.
Whatever ethnicity I'm, I'll tell you what I am. I'm an Indian American. I'm proud of it. But I think we should have this debate. Black, white, doesn't matter.
I think we should have this debate.
On the content of the ideas.
If you're going to do it, you should do it in an honest way and in a fair way. And what you're doing is not an honest and fair way. Okay? We appreciate you coming on.
With due respect, Don, I look forward to continuing that conversation.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Papa.
We'll talk about China.
Yes, let's talk about China.
Next time you come back.
Oh, thank you. Much to say on declaring independence from China.
Okay.
Something you
can
add
on now, please.
Thank you.
We can stop that there. As you can see, Poppy Harlow felt very uncomfortable in the corner because she also has her earpiece in and is probably listening to the production booth behind the scenes going, Don, shut up. Yeah. Stop spreading race propaganda. Stop yelling over the guests. We look terrible. Stop it. And one thing that you don't do when you're on air is acknowledge production, because it lifts the curtain and it makes you look unprofessional. And given this was a really embarrassing interview, not by CNN standards, of course, but when he turns around and says, whatever ethnicity you are, splaining to me, trying to pull out the intersectional hierarchy.
He accuses him of white-splaining.
Yeah, for an Indian man. Mm. I think that Don Lemon's career, unlike Tucker Carlson, who's sharing pizza with an upstanding American citizen, has gone out with a whimper rather than a bang. Yeah. So good luck, Tucker, and bon voyage, Donny boy.
Right. Let's talk about Elon's rocket, which rather unfortunately blew up.
Family-friendly show.
What did I say?
Elon's rocket.
Yes. No, it's all good. It's all good. Starship.
Okay, fantastic.
Yep, no, all good. Before I do, I'm also dying here, that's also the other thing. The Assyrians, part three, if you sign up to the website, there is the long-running series on the Assyrians that that Bo and Carl are doing at the moment. They're actually off at the British Museum today filming the last one on location, so that is going to be absolutely superb. So check out that series. Okay, so Elon's rocket. Let's have a quick look at this. This is the rocket that went up on 420. Let's play from here. So if you're watching the road, it's
about 40 stories.
Yeah.
Looks like the thing going off. Looks like the thing they sent Optimus Prime back to the moon with.
Yeah. So it clears the launch pad and off it goes up into the sky. So it cleared the launch tower, which was actually the primary objective. This is still a relatively early test. It achieved twice the thrust of the Saturn V rocket. It passed.
That owns the Titanic. It was a successful failure. I mean, they got it in the water.
I'm getting some background. So it cleared the tower. It got past something called max Q, which is basically when the maximum dynamic pressure it exceeds the point of the fluid total pressure, which basically means that the acceleration force was dropping out against the air pressure going down. So if you can imagine driving along in a car with your hand out the window,
right?
As you accelerate, the force on your hand gets pushed back. Hmm. But if you were doing it straight up, the air pressure would also be dropping. So eventually those two would level out.
Right.
So the maximum point on that, on those two parabolic curves is max Q. So it is the maximum amount of stress that a rocket can experience as it goes up. So it got past that point. So it was a very successful test. And they got terabytes of data that came out of it before it hit this next bit, which will improve the rocket for future test flights before it becomes commercially viable. But then this next thing happened.
Yeah, Kate, right now it looks like we saw the start of the flip, but obviously we're seeing from the ground cameras the entire Starship stack continuing to rotate. We should have had separation by now. obviously, this is does not appear to be a nominal situation.
Yeah, it does appear to be spinning, but I do want to remind everyone that everything after clearing the tower was icing on the cake.
And for those listening, there was now a big bang in the sky. So it did clear the launch tower. It went up. It got very high, but it did not separate. It started to spin, and the onboard self-destruct mechanism was activated, which was probably a good idea because otherwise some nice old Mexican lady could have got a 400-foot tall rocket weighing 5,000 tons come through the apartment window at Mach 11. So
it was meant to crash land in the Atlantic Ocean at some point, just to be recoverable, wasn't it? But that's if everything went swimmingly.
Yeah, that didn't happen either. But look, this is still huge news. This is what this really is. This is a giant step forward in the test process that will lead to a step change in orbital launch cost and capability. So what I mean by that is that this thing, Starship, when it is fully up and running, will be able to deliver into space at least 100 tons up into orbit, and it will be able to do it at a cost of about 2 million, marginal cost to get it into space. Now, you compare that to the next best thing, which is Elon's previous rocket, the Falcon 9, that cost about 15 million to get 17 tons up into space. So basically, the cost to get a ton of something into space has come down from about a million per ton down to about $20,000 per ton. So it is a significant reduction in cost and a significant increase in capability. It's certainly well beyond anything that that NASA or the Russians had ever achieved with their program. And the reason why he's able to get costs down so low is because he builds in usability, reusability into his rockets, whereas everybody else designs theirs to basically just a single use. It'd be like if you can imagine the cost of an airline ticket if your 747 was destroyed when it got to the other side. Let's just recap on the previous rocket to show, you know, the remarkable engineering that goes into this. So let's play this one. This is a clip of the previous rocket, which is at a further stage in its development, watching a rocket land on a ship in the middle of the ocean. The ship and the rocket are completely autonomous.
That's mad.
It is absolutely remarkable. You can now send the rockets up and land them on a ship. And where they are looking to get to is the big ones, the starships. They will go up and they will basically dock themselves back into the landing tower.
Right. I think the reason for this as well, why this is being pursued, is because it will become commercially viable, not just when you can launch multiple tons into space, but when you can bring multiple tons extra weight back because you can get asteroid mining. And of course, if he is looking to evade Chinese manufacturing capacity capture, the only place that he's going to be able to build his Teslas is by mining asteroids for all the rare earth minerals.
Well, that's definitely a step or two further down the line.
But I'm sure Elon's thinking about it.
Yeah, quite possibly. I mean, I didn't even sort of put it in that context. I mean, my sort of commercialization thoughts are much more in the immediate that, for example, another one of his companies is Starlink, which puts the sort of low Earth orbit satellites. So because they're low orbit, they have a longer lifespan and they will drop out the sky sooner. But that won't matter now because he can send these ships up and he can launch them. And he's put out sort of a sort of example video where one of these things will go up and it just like a Pez dispenser will just shoot these satellites out. So what that means is that he will absolutely dominate the data infrastructure going forward because he will have these very low latency data communication web covering the entire Earth apart from the North and South poles. And that will, I mean, just no one else will be able to compete with that. The existing infrastructure companies like, you know, the telecom companies, they will not be able to compete with it. They cannot afford, I mean, they don't have the technical expertise to do any of this. So Elon Musk is going to end up owning pretty much all of data. The other thing that it's going to do is long-haul aero freight is going to disappear because you'll do it on rockets instead, and you may well get people adopting it for point-to-point human transportation as well. Because at the moment, you get dozens of flights going from, say, London to Sydney, and it takes 23 hours. With something like this, it will be site-to-site within 45 minutes. Yeah. And it will take somewhere between 500 and 1,000 passengers. The only difficulty is you're going to have to try and find a way to stop people trying to get out their harness and float around a bit at the apogee of the uh, of the Ark, but it's only a 45-minute journey, so you won't have airplane food any longer as well. So that would be very cool. And of course, the more significant thing is the is because the cost to get stuff into orbit, the space infrastructure will start to expand quite rapidly now. So we're talking sort of more data infrastructures and data centers and other things will start being installed in orbit as well. And then I have watched various podcasts from people who really know what they're talking about, describing all the benefits that will bring. Didn't fully understand it, but I'll watch it a few more times and I'll see if I can relate that back at some future point. But apparently good things are coming from this. And also this thing, well, not this thing, but the one we saw at the beginning, it is the largest rocket that mankind has ever created. And it will be the technology that we use to get to the moon and Mars, or I should say, it will be the first time we've been able to return to the moon since we had 1960s technology. Because of course, that definitely happened. Not getting into that one. All I'm saying is that in 1961, President Kennedy was in a Cold War arms race, and he made this promise that we're going to go to the moon, and then a government program delivered that within 8 years. Without going over budget and on time, which of course happens all the time with government programs. But anyway,
shame he didn't live to see it.
Yeah. So, but it was on TV, so it definitely happened. So it was the first time that we'd be able to return to the moon since we had 1960s technology. So it was a big success. But something did go wrong because it did blow up. So let's talk about that. Let's have a look at these. These are the Raptor engines. Now the Starship it has 37 of these, and if you are listening, these engines are about twice the size of a person. They're absolutely enormous, and there was 37 on them. And so what do we think actually went wrong? Well, let's go to the next image. So this is the launch pad that Starship went up from. Now what you're seeing here is, I mean, this. It's the bottom of the launch pad. That used to be a concrete concourse.
Right, so it just incinerated all of it.
Whereas now what you're seeing is basically a big muddy pit. And you'll notice, if you look at that base, that that's about 20 or 30 feet of reinforced concrete.
Yeah.
In the 11 seconds it took for the rocket to clear the launch pad, 30 feet of reinforced concrete evaporated. So quite a bit of thrust and heat was going down, and it sort of dug that very big hole at the bottom. Now, probably what happened is even though most of the bits of steel and concrete were blasting out of the sides at rather high speed, some of it must have ricocheted back up into it. Because if you look at the footage as it first goes up, there are several engines out already and probably more damage. So that's probably what caused the rocket not to fully complete its program. But nevertheless, it was a big success. But nevertheless, the media reaction was absolutely joyous, particularly the ex-Blue Checkmark Brigade on Twitter. They were absolutely delightful at it. All these rich and famous people who can't afford £8 a month to keep their blue checkmark, they were absolutely delighted with it. I could show some of those, but this being an audio-visual show, I thought it'd be more interesting to show one of the typical news pieces. So let's go to Canadian TV, where the guy is very smug, but unfortunately he's talking to somebody who actually knows what he's going on about, because he's chatting to Chris Hadfield, who the former commander of the International Space Station. Let's watch this.
Not what the company or NASA perhaps were hoping for. SpaceX putting on a brave face, you heard all that applause, calling it a successful failure. Does raise some questions, though, about NASA's timeline for a planned return to the moon. Discuss more. Let's bring in Chris Hadfield, Canadian astronaut extraordinaire, former commander of the International Space Station, author of The Apollo Murders and the upcoming book, The Defector. Hey, Chris, good to see you.
Good to see you as well. And yeah, you say people are putting on a brave face. You have it completely wrong, Todd. This was an enormously successful test flight. I used to be a test pilot in the Royal Canadian Air Force and the U.S. Navy and the U.S. Air Force. This was a terrific day. We learned an enormous amount, and it really bodes well for the future.
So tell me, because at first glance, Chris, you know, people see a rocket taking off and it blows up and they think, that doesn't seem like a success, though. But walk us through why it is.
Well, the first flight of the F-14 crashed. The first flight of the F-16 wasn't even supposed to be a flight. It went out of control and the pilot barely limped into the air. The Wright brothers crashed more times than you can count. One of them almost killed Orville Wright. People don't normally see test operations. They just see like airlines and expect everything to be perfect. But this was the very first orbital attempt of the biggest rocket ever built, 33 engines, a vehicle that can give us capability we've never had before. And at the end, you say it explodes. I think they destroyed it on purpose. It's got destruction circuitry on it so that it, you know, it's not a threat to anybody on the ground. I think they sent the auto destruct command to it, but they learned so much before that. So yeah, it may have looked to the untrained eye that that this wasn't what they wanted. This was enormously successful and really paves the way toward what's coming next.
So I do love the defensive body language of the Canadian news anchor when he realizes that the segment really isn't going the way that he thought it was going to go, and he starts sitting like that, you know, incredibly defensive body language. So that was fun. So yeah, lots of examples like that. The other one I thought I'd quite like to pick out is the Young Turks, because of course we've always got to make fun of them.
Favorite horse enthusiast, Cenk Uygur.
Was it Cenk who was into horse porn, or was it Anna?
It was Cenk.
It was Cenk. Yes. Right. Okay. So anyway, so the two of them get into this. Let's watch.
But can CBS relax for a second?
Yeah. Look here.
You know what? This was a successful failure.
successful failure lines. I mean, that's so corporate media.
It is.
Right? That loss.
And you know what else was the largest of its kind? The Titanic. Mm. And if they were around back then, mainstream media would be like, well. To be fair to the corporation that owns the Titanic, it was a bit of a successful failure. I mean, they got it in the water and it did hit the iceberg. I mean, the iceberg also got damaged. Okay, so the spin is unbelievable. You know, so these goofballs, the Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, and said they build these rockets in the shape of penises. I mean, let's be honest, right?
The Bezos one
is like, it's the most phallic thing I have ever seen.
What is Cenk's obsession with cock?
Well, look, the simple reason, Chunk, that that a rocket is the most phallic thing that you've ever seen is because you haven't seen your own todger since you were about 11. You are so fat that you sweat while you eat. And that's why you have no idea what a proper phallus looks like.
I'd also just like to point out that at one point the Young Turks were very big and they're still corporate backed and their viewership has blown up pretty significantly. Yep. Particularly if you look at the dislike ratio that YouTube's
had
to hide.
Well, it helps get multi millions from YouTube funneled towards. And where's our multi millions YouTube?
Yeah, but that's fine. So you don't like corporations that deliberately fail. Even though they're a success, but just because you've accidentally failed because you've destroyed all your credibility and are still getting corporate backing, you're okay, are you?
Yep. But now that's where I wanted to go with it. Rocket is ultimately a success on a journey. It was a test flight, and Cenk Uygur is fat. That's really the point I wanted to make. Should we have a look at the comments?
Yeah, go for it.
Don't you start while I cough.
My new racial activist trying to ban a certain hand gesture is a long since discussed attempt to change the way we communicate, particularly scuba divers and their need to be precise without speaking. Also, it's well known that there are plenty of examples of certain people using the gesture as a symbol of satisfaction and to express a precise point, although exactly how precise is questionable given their muddled thinking. However, if there are other lotus eaters who, like me, enjoy wearing a good hat, we may need to be careful how we tip it in appreciation of others. Surely there can't be any examples of that being done by the favorable demographic.
So, funny story, actually. The university that Callum and I went to were very known for persecuting people for political reasons. And one of the prominent cases that the student union decided to persecute someone for was the Bollocks to Brexit bus showed up on campus, endorsed by the student union. And some guy showed up with the cringe Brexit girl with her guitar that was standing outside protesting for quite a while, stood next to her, and in the banner photo, he did the okay hand gesture against his leg to do the, hey, you looked at it, I get to punch you thing. And he was hauled up in front of a show trial by the diversity and inclusion officer, who actually cited the SPLC, who had fallen for the 4chan hoax that said it meant white power. And he showed them the 4chan post and they went, okay, he's still got to pay us the fine.
I do love 4chan. Have they done any more recent hoax? Because they were really on a roll for a while.
I don't know. I don't go on 4chan.
The problem was is they manifested reality because everybody sort of took them too seriously.
Yeah. The only interaction I have with 4chan is the green text reposting Twitter account. And I love the meme of them making up horrific scenarios. And then there's, you know, Joe Rogan, Daniel Cormier and the other fella where they're leaning backwards doing the reaction thing. And it's the shampoo bottles in Anon's shower watching him making the scenario in his head. Yeah, quality stuff. Anyway, on to the next one.
I know you guys are probably going to get comments about this from other people, but I figured I'd throw my hat in there. There is no official gun registry by any government in the United States. As far as I know, I don't know about blue states, but you do not have to register firearms. Now, there is a difference between gaining a firearms concealed carry license, and then there's also an FFL, which allows you to receive guns through the post, basically, and other things. It basically means that you're a registered seller with the federal government, but... There's really no way to illegally acquire a gun in the United States because the Second Amendment exists.
Okay, for audio listeners, he was pacing up and down a hallway with a janitor's cart, and I'm sorry, that's a great point, and I will make a serious point on that in the future. But when you're saying there's no firearms registration in the United States, don't worry, lads, and you're walking up and down the school corridor.
Yes, I suppose that
it
could
does look yes. slightly bad. As far as I know, yes, there's no national registry. Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but certain states like New York, for example, you do actually have to go through the police to purchase a firearm, yeah. And they use the excuse of
but
if you
New
accidentally
York law is illegal, well, it's unconstitutional.
Well, it's unconstitutional, yeah. So yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if the New York PD do actually have some kind of database for the state.
As we know, rule of law is a myth. It doesn't matter. You know, it's
anarcho-tyranny. Yeah, of course. Right. Is that it for the video comments? Wonderful. Okay. Baron von Warhawk, a hypothetical question for you guys. At what point would the US invasion and annexation of Haiti be justified? After all the violence, corruption, and poverty, would the US really be criticized if the Yankees turned Haiti into the 51st state? Yes, it would cost a lot to fix up this new state, but would the whole world be less violent?
I wouldn't turn it into the 51st state. I really wouldn't go that far. I mean, there is an interesting point to be made as to, you know, if you were the US president, is it the right thing to do to intervene? Because on one hand, you shouldn't intervene because, you know, it's not your problem.
Yeah.
They're their own people. They can sort out their own problem. On the other hand, children are getting raped and eaten.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the problem. Like, my inclination is that with a hypothetically benevolent and trustworthy government, could they go in and kick over the warlords and leave them to their own devices? Sure. Will that happen without the military-industrial complex and the Clinton Foundation and the like? And would they stay there for many years doing nation-building?
Yes.
Absolutely. So do I trust the current regime? No.
Well, the way they do it at the moment is basically to fund a group of bad guys who aren't quite as bad as the current bad guys, which they did with the Taliban and various
and then
other
ISIS
examples.
And also Fast and Furious to empower the cartels, and then they end up becoming the bad guys. In
yeah,
the way
the Americans do this is not the way that I think anyone wants it done.
Yep. Letter M. Why care about a crisis 300 miles away when you can fund a war halfway around the world?
Yeah, because all the money laundering's already been done in Haiti.
Yeah,
that's basically it.
Alex Ogle, that UN press conference on Haiti, it's not that the media couldn't be bothered to turn up, although that's probably part of it. It's that the host of the conference said they'd moved it earlier so others might arrive later. They deliberately moved it so people couldn't attend.
Well, to be fair, I did watch it to the end of the 45-minute conference and nobody turned up then either. And to be fair, it was 11:30 in the morning, so it's not that early. I mean, even by New York standards.
Mm. Arizona Desert Rat, my cousin was a missionary in Haiti for a short time. Kids in the area he served kept disappearing. Mm. He'd ask where the kids went. The other kids would say, they took him. The militias were nabbing kids off the streets to be soldiers in their armies. Yeah, there is another story I heard quite a while ago. I think Callum probably reported on this in the early days of the podcast, where some woman went over to Haiti to prove that all cultures are beautiful. And tragically, she was gang raped. And in the article that she wrote about it, she said, I was a Malcolm X scholar. I can't understand. And it's like this.
Well, yes. Yeah, she can't understand because she doesn't have the conceptual framework to process that all of the bollocks that she spent her whole life learning is a complete fabrication.
Yeah, and so ideological lies have been peddled to women to endanger themselves. So be careful when solo traveling, ladies. Taffy Duck. Oh, come on. Haiti won't get so much as military paperclip until 4chan starts putting out rumors that they've struck oil. Go on, internet virgins, you know what to do. There you go. We found our next 4chan
They do have
host.
Gas, though. I mean, and there's a need for gas at the moment.
Yeah, but America aren't too keen on gas because it stops them from controlling Europe, doesn't it?
Yeah, unless it's LNG, which they can ship over themselves.
Mm. Raychek was right. How much do you want to bet Trump's going to pay Tucker Carlson to do a podcast-style segment he did, but doing it with True Social? It would be a fantastic move to throw True Social into the big boy leagues of social media competitors. No, I don't bet. I wouldn't bet.
I think that's a bit optimistic, Mr. Raychek.
Yeah, I think you might be breaking your back with that stretch, particularly because do you think Trump is going to make any sensible decisions with someone who has publicly besmirched him? Like, it doesn't matter if Tucker would be a brilliant running mate. That leaked text is it for Tucker and Trump. There will be nothing from here on out. He will not like him, no matter how compatible their personalities are.
Do you have a Truth account? Or Truth Social account?
Only when I need to pull up Trump's posts for the podcast.
Right, okay.
Nobody uses Truth Social.
No.
Like, just go back on Twitter. I know contractually he probably can't, but I wouldn't be surprised if he did some sort of timed exclusivity. Okay, I don't know the details of Trump's contract, but what would be sensible is at least to repost the link of his Truth Social post within a screenshot of the Truth Social post on Twitter. So you get Truth Social timed exclusives, so all the journalists have to be on there, but then he's still on Twitter anyway and he gets the message out.
Yes, I suppose so.
That'd be sensible.
At a minimum.
Yeah. Omar, Tucker is the biggest Tucker is the libs of TikTok of mainstream news. Well, he helped her take off after all. If AOC gets legitimate death threats because of Tucker segments, it's because he showed the world her words from her own mouth. Yeah, Tucker was pretty instrumental in pulling up the chart, basically, of saying AOC's story about where is she with the Capitol Hill insurrectionists beating her door down. She was in a building halfway over the other side of the Capitol, and she was claiming that this took place ages before anyone had even breached it. And it was actually Capitol Police trying to evacuate her and get her to safety. So she's just a lying grifter.
No, she's a fantasist. Yep.
Of course. Sophie Liv Peterson, if Tucker Carlson and James O'Keefe team up to create a new media company funded by Elon Musk and Donald Trump, I'd be laughing my ass off while giving them all my money. I wouldn't dream of it. I reckon Tucker will probably just sign to Rumble. That seems to be the sensible thing that's happening at the moment.
Well, Elon is making a big play to expand the media profile of Twitter. So.
Kind of. He's monetizing accounts, so he's basically doing a Substack rather than running adverts on Twitter video, which would be the sensible thing
to do. Well, he's all a bit nascent, but I mean, he could pivot into something, but I don't know.
Yeah. Though he has just made it so that verified accounts are privileged in the algorithm. So that means that all the lefty journos who won't pay for their $8 are going to get deranked. So I suppose we get to posting, lads. Yep. Fantastic. Maureen Peters, even if you hate controversial presenters with a passion, it is concerning to get rid of them. Without discussions, there cannot be progress. There will be only stagnation and radicalizing of a few ideas. I usually learn from my rivals more than my friends. But one, I disbelieve in progress. Two, we know certain people are evil. Like, we do know they're just evil, right? And they're playing that game with us. So I am kind of more happy to allow a few token morons in, sure. Not as many as GB currently platforms, like that Narinda woman that went on Love Island for 10 minutes and now gets money to shout about how everyone's racist and they just include it for Twitter clips to drive boomer bait. I'm actually fine with crushing disingenuous enemies a little bit.
But to the underlying point here, I mean, it is not that he had, you know, opposing views or different views. He had non-establishment views.
Yes.
He was anti-military industrial complex, anti-Republican, all the rest of it. And so he could not be tolerated for that reason.
Yeah, he was exiled for telling the truth.
Yeah.
Austin, fun question. Kamala and AOC versus DeSantis and Tucker for president, who would win? Because we are on YouTube, we can now say that it does not matter how dislikable they would be, they would fortify it anyway. So enjoy your WOC AOC.
The next US election is going to be really fun. I can well see the FBI just basically kicking down the doors of ballot stations and taking them over at gunpoint in this one. Because, I mean, last time it was so blatant.
Save that clip for when and if that prediction comes to pass. Arizona Desert Rat. Well, so far, Elon has a better track record than NASA. NASA blew up several rockets before they were even able to get off the ground. And also, Elon employs less Nazis.
Yeah.
That's quite a good thing, I suppose.
Well, and NASA, they didn't even have a launch capability. They were using the Russian rockets to get their astronauts onto the International Space Station. It was only when the previous generation of Elon's rocket, the Falcon 9, became viable did they start sending Americans up from American soil again.
Oh, I didn't know.
So, I mean,
that.
NASA is well behind.
Huh. Baron von Warhawk, all progress comes at costs and all victories come from sacrifices. A few crashed rockets are necessary to get people into space, just like it took hundreds of failures for Edison to create a working light bulb. These checkmarks are blinded by their hatred for Musk and fail to see the progress humanity is making. Mm. Well, yeah, because they don't want to progress humanity.
Right, they just don't like Elon.
Well, they want to eradicate it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the explicit desire of Simone de Beauvoir, who basically said we should depopulate ourselves into non-existence. Excuse me if I don't trust the feminists to stick us into space. Michael says, I still can't believe Elon watched The Dictator and decided my rocket needs to be pointy too. That is the criticism that Cenk decided to level at him. By the way, if you didn't catch on as to our chunky yogurt jokes during the segment, go and look up a YouTube segment which has been buried, but I ended up being able to find it and send it to Josh when he was incredulous that Cenk actually said that. Cenk said, if I were made benevolent dictator of the world tomorrow, the first thing I would do is legalize bestiality where you are pleasuring an animal. Why would that be the first thing that pops to your mind, Cenk?
Yes, unlimited global power, and the first thing you go for is get me some bestiality. Yeah. I think there are easier ways to do that. I mean, surely there's, you know, facilities in Egypt or something that you could visit.
Even Anna and the rest of the crew were just bemused.
Yes.
Like, they've come out with some stupid takes in their time. But
oh, and Anna is quite twisted, I think. I get the impression.
I don't know if we can say that.
Hey, let's edit that bit. Okay.
We're live, Dan. Oh, bugger. Oh, well, at least we're behind the paywall on the website. Yep. Anyway, we're basically out of time. So on that note, thanks very much for watching. Go watch Brokenomics at 3 o'clock and watch me and Dan destroy our careers.
Wish me a speedy recovery from this Darth plague which is infecting this office.
Yep, fantastic. And hopefully by the time we're back on together next Tuesday, you won't be coughing up a lung.
Yes, that'd be nice.
And we won't incriminate ourselves any further.
Yes, cheerio, folks.
Brilliant. Anyway, we're back tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Thanks very much for watching and goodbye.